sinner? And he answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. The one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let us pray. Father God, we're asking you to come now and to take away our spiritual blindness. Give us eyes to see you here today, to hear you here today, to know that you are yet alive and we are not alone. Because what we do know is that we were blind, but now we see. Speak, Lord. Open my mouth. Open the mouths of others, their hearts. Use them in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a interesting, to say the least, kind of text. Sunday school lesson story, Jesus in the Gospel of John has already been preaching about light. You can go back to the 8th chapter when he says, I am the light of the world. And then he runs across this man. It's not planned. The man doesn't ask to be made whole or to receive his sight. Jesus sees him. He picks up some mud. He puts it over the man's eyes. He instructs the man to go to the pool at Siloam, which means sent, and come back. Why? Because the Pharisees, the rabbis, had to say that this indeed was a miracle. The man does all of this, and then it all starts. It goes bad. The disciples, well, how in the world was he blind because his parents sinned? They knew that because they had been taught that in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, that sometimes there were sins that were upon you that would continue upon your family. And if it's not bad enough, the disciples question this, the Pharisees, the church people. Well, I don't know. I saw him. He used to be around. He used to be blind. And it can't be God himself. Jesus, he is not the Messiah. What happened here? They call the man. He says, look at me. I can see now. The neighbors, a little skeptical. And then they call the man's parents. Now you think the parents, well, look, this is my son. He was born blind. Now he sees. How did that happen? I don't know. Why? Because they were afraid. They knew that if they recognized the power of Jesus the Messiah, that they would be excommunicated out of the church. And so they were afraid. And the man himself stands up and testifies. I don't know. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. It is the words in the power of his testimony that changes lives. Yes, miracles happen when you trust in God, and yes, there will be skeptics in your life. But this text teaches us that there is power in the words of your testimony. It teaches us that God does not make mistakes. And so, kind of in a throwback kind of way, I have asked some people to come today to share with us their testimony. Will you guys come from wherever you are? To share with us the story that they know, that they know, that they know. Why? Because God didn't make any mistakes. If God said it, he'll do it. He'll bring it to pass. He says, trust in me. You know, and it's so funny. I mean, I could just start. I'm going to start this off with one great story, and then they'll introduce themselves, and they'll tell you who they are and what God has done in their life. But how do I know? People say, Felicia, that's Old Testament. That's, you know, back in the day. That's 2,000 years ago that God did those kinds of miracles. Well, here, I'm going to start it off with a great story. My friend's daughter was born. Well, she wasn't born, but by the time she was 12, she had diabetes. And her kidneys began to fail. By the time she was 18, she was on dialysis and mad at God. And so she left the church, went out, and did some crazy kind of living. She really was the prodigal daughter. Well, she got on the list. She waited on the list a year and a half because she needed a kidney transplant. And they couldn't find one. And finally, they get the phone call. They say, get her in the car and bring her to the hospital. We found a kidney for her. Sure enough, she gets to the hospital. Within 2 hours, she's in surgery. They operate on her. 6 hours later, they come out and they say, Gladys is going to be just fine. We have given her a kidney and a pancreas. Two for one. They are amazed. They are overjoyed. My friend begins to cry because she knows that this has to be the work of God. People, no, no, no. Somebody died. Yes. Who died? A Hawaiian young girl in great health has a tragic accident, and they are able to transport her kidney and her pancreas. Yeah, you said that, Felicia, but what's the problem? The problem is, and this is what I've been told, so doctors, you keep me straight, that some minorities have five connections to their kidney, not four. So if you're going to get one and she was Hispanic, you need somebody else who is of color to give you that kidney. And this Hawaiian girl had five connections to her kidney. Thank you, Jesus. God makes no mistakes. Every one of us has a story, but the question is, will you stand when people are skeptical? Will you stand when people don't understand you? Will you stand when they tell you no and say like this man, look, all I know is that I was blind, but now I see. So I'm going to ask the panel, they've got some mics, I'm going to get this other one. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves and to tell us who they are and where they are from. And then we're just going to ask them to share with us. First of all, give them a round of applause because they are doing something that some of you, I'm not getting up there. Felicia lost her mind. I'm not. Yeah. Louis says they're still saying I'm crazy and they lost their mind. So tell me who you are and where you're from, and then we'll go about hearing your story.
Hello, my name is Luis Olivares, and I'm from Abilene by way of Haskell and Dallas, Texas.
Sonia Nichols, and I'm from Lindale, Texas.
Ellen Nichols, and I'm from Tyler, Texas.
I'm Alex Forehand, and I'm from Abilene, Texas, born and raised.
Okay, so now I want to start off with, I said in the text that this guy says, look, what I know for myself. You know, we all have that story that says, this is the thing that God has done for me, for us in my life. Can you share with us, what's the story you want us to know today that God has done for you unequivocally in your life?
For me personally, I think my sense of community and wanting to give back. I'm not a rich man, but I do have time that I can give back. So that is my thing that led me here to St. Paul. I was in Haskell, worked for Citibank. They closed all the branches because they were diversifying, closing, so I had the opportunity to move to Dallas. I always loved visiting Dallas, Texas. It's a great city. There's food, there's art, there's culture, but there's also crime, there's traffic. My vehicle was broken in. So the moment that I set towards Dallas, my family was praying that I would move back to West Texas. So 2.5 years later, here I am in Abilene, and I work for First Financial Bank. So I'm blessed with that opportunity that God presented to me to move back here. Divine intervention, I got the call on July 6th of last year. The next day is when the shootings and riots happened in downtown Dallas and killed the 6 police officers. So I knew God was telling me, I'm getting you home. And this is my home. St. Paul is my home. Abilene is my home. I had been here for a few months, and someone had suggested to me, they said, try St. Paul, because I had been to other churches here in the community, and it just didn't feel right. I came here on a friend's suggestion and said, you got to go see Pastor Felicia. Lo and behold, she opened up her mouth, and it's like, I knew I was home. Now I was just praying how to find my happy here. And so months down the line, last month, she and I finally got together for lunch. And I said, I need to find my happy. She's breaking me out of my comfort zone. I'm trying to get back into Bible school. She's getting me in a group. She got me connected with Cheryl that will get me in the kitchen. And the kitchen, for me, being Latino, that is our happy place. That's where everything happens. That's where the life happens. That's where you catch up on all the goings on in the family. But it is my way to give back. Like I said, I don't have a lot of money to give, but I do have two hands, and I have a skill that I can use to feed the hungry and to help minister to other people here in the community.
All right, thank you.
Hello. I was very fortunate. I grew up in a very Christian home. I've always known God was number one. I got married very young. I had two daughters very young. It didn't work out. Got divorced. I was a single mother. I prayed for God to send me a good Christian man. I had applied for the nursing program at TJC. The first time I applied, I did not get accepted. The second time I applied, I got accepted. I truly, truly believe that I was not accepted the first time because it was not time for me to go. God was not opening that door for me at that time because he was waiting for me to meet my future husband, my wonderful future husband of 18 years.
First of all, I would like to tell Adam, I think it's the one that sent us the email, that it was did not tell us we would be sitting up in front of the entire congregation today. But my wife and I met in nursing school. I was a single father. I had been working for a refinery for 7 years. I wanted to better my life and go to college, so I basically sold everything I had and went back to college. Sonia and I met in nursing school. We married right after we graduated. We worked for a year after we had graduated, and we realized that raising our three kids on the income that we had, we weren't going to be very successful. So I went back to college. I started in August of 1999, and I graduated in December of, it was 6 to 7 years later. I graduated with my master's degree, nurse practitioner. It's enabled me to be a better provider, give to the church, and I know it wasn't possible without, you know, having God in our lives, and I'm very humbled by it.
Thank you.
I have a little bit different story. I was born and raised in the church, baptized, went through confirmation in sixth grade. I was at another church here in Abilene before family just kind of stopped going, and I felt like I needed to find somewhere that I belonged, and two of my friends at school brought me to this church, and I was with Doc England and Trey Gillette as youth pastors until graduating in 2007. I sort of got away from it, just thinking I could do it by myself, and about a year later, I came back looking for that sense of community and fellowship that I just wasn't getting, and I was introduced to Robin, who on my very first day back at church, and was pretty much thrown to the lions with the mid-high youth. And it's been a fantastic experience and just wonderful overall.
All right. So let me ask you a surprise question, because I didn't ask you this before. So there are people watching and there are people out here, and they're saying, well, yeah, she picked them and they came up and happy life, blue, blue, blue. If there's something you could say to somebody who's looking right now, who's wondering if it's true, they're wondering if this God is still with you here and now, and that he's still moving in your life. If any of you, if there's something you'd want to say, look into that camera and say to them, this is how I know he's still here. What would any of you want to say anything?
I think for me personally, waking up each and every morning is another opportunity to do good for God's name.
Okay. Anybody else? They're going to make you talk excited.
I just know every second of every day. It's just in my heart. Good. Just the way I feel.
All right. All right. Oh, we've got a little, got a mic grab on the end.
Just coming on Wednesdays and Sundays and just seeing the smiles, the joy that the youth get when talking about Jesus and the Bible is just really fantastic.
All right. Thank you. So let's give them a round of applause. You guys can have a seat if you want, or you can stay up here and have a seat for coming and sharing their testimony. And so I want to wrap that up in this kind of way. A lot of people think, oh, I've never been a drug addict, or, you know, I didn't go to jail, I didn't beat up somebody, you know. So when it comes to sharing my story, I don't have anything to say. But the truth is, these stories are just like yours. And there are people out there who need to hear stories of people who grew up in a church like me and who said, you know what, I'm out. But their faith led them back to God. They need to hear stories that you, maybe you did get married young, and you had some kids and you've been out of faith and out of touch with God, but that God is still with you and he will lead you back. And even if it didn't work the first time, that God is still available. And he loves you so much that he's going to bring you somebody to love. And when I was talking to them earlier, one of the things they said is, you know, this time we did it with God. And it's made all the difference. Young man, well, come over here and do this. But what is he doing on Wednesday nights, on Sunday nights, when he's not working? He's here in the church trying to help your kids and my kids lead a better life. Old song said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. I don't know about you, but the one thing I know is that I was blind and now I see. All right, church. There's a story that somebody needs to hear from you. There's a story your grandkids need to hear. Your grandkids need to hear that you hadn't always looked like grandma and grandpa. They need to know, you know, you had some hair up there and some other stuff was going on in your life. They need to know that you made some mistakes. Yeah, Walter, we want to see a picture with you with hair. They need to know that you made some mistakes. But by the grace of God, you are yet here. They need to hear it. Your teenagers, parents, they need to know that you're not perfect. That you've fallen off of the pedestal. I've fallen. Let me put up both hands and both legs. I'd be on the ground. But by the grace of God, I'm still here. They need to know, for those of you who don't have kids, that that's a choice you made, but you love them and you love your life and it's okay. We got to start telling our story. Because just like there are skeptics in this text, there are still skeptics out there nowadays who will tell you it's not true, that God has no power. But let me tell you, God makes no mistake. Where's Martine? There he is. There's my baby. I love that young man. My phone rang. The leader of the department, Lydia Patterson, said, "Hey, how about taking a student?" I was so excited to be here. It was my first year. I won't say I was a young and dumb pastor, but I didn't even ask how much it cost. I was like, "Oh yeah, we can do that. We're St. Paul." Woo, doo, doo, doo. 2 months later, they called me and said, "Well, he's coming, and you need to write a check for $8,000." Thank you, Lord. We couldn't even pay our shared ministries at the time. Where was I going to get eight? And Scott, God loves Scott. You'll find it, Felicia. Not him, but I'll find it. And I had to look that young man in the face and tell him that I don't care, come heck of high water, that God was going to provide for him for the next 4 years, and that as a family, I don't know about you, 2018, Martine? 2018, you graduate? Some number I can't see. 9. Oh, don't tell me that. That's an extra year of 8,000. Anyway. I'm going to the graduation. Yeah. This young man, what you got? A 3-point? Come on. Brag on yourself. What do you got? A 3-point what? He's got a 3.81 grade point in computer science. He works 20 hours a week here at the church. You tell me that God makes mistakes. Bring him here? Look at us. Yeah, laugh. It is funny. I'd be laughing if I was at home. I was like, "Lord, have mercy." He doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't make any mistakes. Yes, we don't always know the answer. And yes, sometimes we're going out there and we're looking for answers and we're gripping. But here I came to tell you today that God doesn't make any mistakes, and that all things work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Tell somebody your story. There's power in it. Whatever it may be. There. Say, "The one thing I do know, if he saved me, if he filled me with his Holy Spirit, if he picked me up and turned me around, if he took me out of the ghetto of New York and brought me here to preach, he can do it for you." That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. Let us pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for this warm and rich text that says to us that you are yet alive, that you are moving in our lives, and that sometimes people will not believe what you have done, but it is up to us to stand and to testify. Yes, in 2017, it is up to us. I don't know everything else, but this much I do know, that you are God, that I love you, that I'm grateful for all that you've done in my life. I know this because God does not make mistakes. So we bless your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.